Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Mexico as an orphan and was adopted into a family with 68 children. In 2004, a businessman gave her $800 to start Maggie's Salsa, which she grew into a multi-million dollar business that Garden Fresh Gourmet bought in 2014. Her autobiography is entitled Mindful Success, and today she's a reverend/minister at Renaissance Unity Church and helps the homeless and less fortunate children in Detroit. Her name? Maggie Cook. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Maggie Cook, whose full name is Maria Magdalena de la Cruz Cook Garcia. What a mouthful.
Welcome. Thank you.
Can we start by talking about the fact that you grew up in Mexico, you were an orphan, and a man and his wife adopt you? Tell us about your mom and dad.
Okay, let me correct that. I was actually one of their 8 kids, and they are the ones that actually adopted 60 other kids throughout my life. I was born there in the mountains of Mexico, central Mexico, in a state called Michoacán. And they also took in over 200 kids additional to what the 68 of us were there that weren't adopted. These were basically kids that were abandoned and abused and neglected. And that was a place for them to, it was a better place for them to grow up.
What was it like being one of 68, Maggie?
It was like going to college. It was like you had girls' dorms, guys' dorms, big dining rooms, and you did the chores. You watched after each other. You cooked 1 week, and 1 week you would clean the house. We would do teams with the boys and the girls.
How fast could you eat?
We consumed a lot of food, but sometimes we had no food because we didn't receive any support from the government. So sometimes we would go up to 2 weeks without food. And I experienced deep poverty mostly in my childhood. When I grew up, when I was older, it was a little bit better.
10 years old, and you become a hunter.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, I became a hunter because we were struggling with food. And my brothers and I would actually go to the mountains, and we would take a spotlight, and we would actually sleep in the trees. We would find a branch that you would, you know, get stuck with your two legs. And if we heard movement, we would just put the spotlight on, and we would jump on the prey, and we would hunt with our hands. We would either do nets. It's hard to believe, but we did it. That's what we did.
Okay, you're 5'2" with heels on,
yes.
I think. Today, how big were you back when you were 10 years old doing that?
I was really small, but you had to be brave. And I was the only girl of all the girls that did this with my brothers because I was the adventurous one.
What did you go after?
We went after iguana. We went after armadillo. We went after rabbit. We went after liebre, which is a little bit smaller than deer. And all kinds of any other animal.
Speaking of high heels, You made your own shoes.
Yes, I did. I remember we didn't have shoes, and I remember I used to take pieces of tire and pieces of cow skin and weave them into the tire to make my little sandals. And I used little nails to nail them down. And I remember if I would get poked with a nail, I'd just have to stop and grab a rock and pound it back into place.
You mentioned you were the bravest of the girls. Were you ever afraid?
I was afraid. I mean, any kid can be afraid, but you had to be tough. I wouldn't say that I was the bravest. I just did the best that I could with the circumstances that I had.
You had a very tough upbringing.
Yes.
A lot of challenges. Did you ever get mad at God? or even hate God, Maggie?
No. I was very, very, very optimistic. And I always dreamed about, I remember looking out my window at night and looking at the moon or looking at the starry sky and thinking, someday I want to be somebody. I want to get out of here. I want to do something that really inspires me and inspires millions of people. The suffering was so bad that I didn't blame God. I just knew that there's always something better. Even being in that place where you were stuck as a child, that you couldn't go anywhere, I always believed that there's going to be something better. And I visualized myself as a businesswoman like I am today, with high heels, except for I had long hair and a dress or dress pants. And I visualized myself successful even at seven years old.
Speaking of being inspired at 7 years old, you had a conversation with your dad at seven.
Yes.
Tell us about that conversation.
He came out of the clinic. He would give medical attention to the poor for free and medications and all that on Sundays from 5 a.m. to whenever he closed. And the last patients he had one Sunday was a woman and two kids. And they came out and he grabbed me and he says, "Can you tell these people are really severely malnourished?" And I said, "How?" And he said, "Look at their hair. It's thin and discolored. And look at their shoes and look at their clothes." The mother had sandals that were almost worn out, and the kids have had no shoes. And so he said, "I never want you to be like that. I never want you to suffer like they are suffering with malnutrition, all this deep suffering." And he says, he just squeezed my head and cried. And at that moment, I just kind of look up to the sky and I said, "I'm going to be something great." And then I heard over my ear him talking to them. He says, "Here's some little bit of money so you can buy a taco and also for the bus fare." That's exactly how I remember it. That moment I knew that I would be something great.
If you want to learn more, www.maggiecook.org.
Yes.
And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Maggie Cook, whose autobiography is entitled Mindful Success. Maggie, you're 17 years old, maybe 5'2" at the most. You're in high school, and you were recruited to play for the Mexican national basketball team.
Yes.
Not as the center.
Right.
Okay. 5'2" guard. What happened?
So I became a very good basketball player. I tried to do anything to be a success, you know, to maybe something to get me out of the place where I was born. And basketball was one of those things. So when I was in high school, I got recruited to play basketball for the Mexican national team in Mexico City. I remember going to Mexico City and visiting them, and they were very interested in me. So we came back to the orphanage, and I remember waiting about 3 months, and we didn't hear anything from them. So one day I go out and play football with my brothers, American football, and I broke my collarbone. One of my brothers passed me a really long pass, and I was very proud and catched it in the air and fell on my shoulder and broke my collarbone. So I ran to my dad, which he was a doctor, and he grabbed me by the shoulders and he said, "Your dreams are over." And I started to cry, but I knew that when something bad happens, there's always something better. I don't know how I have this mentality, but I always believe that there are no accidents. So sure enough, 3 days later they called and I couldn't go, and it was more painful because they were interested and they finally called. But it was not until 4 months later when my parents took a bus with all my 68 brothers and sisters and we toured the U.S. to gain support for their nonprofit organization, and we stopped in West Virginia because they invited us to a picnic there. And I remember arriving, and when we arrived, my brothers and I saw a basketball court, and we immediately ran to it and started to play. And there happened to be the coach of the University of Charleston of West Virginia, and saw me play, and she said, "Who is that girl?" So she went around and found my dad and told him, "I want her to come play for me on a scholarship." And that's how I came here.
I don't know if you caught it, but her mom and dad took the 68 kids on a bus trip from Mexico to West Virginia.
Yes.
Now, it took several months, I think, or weeks, raising money in between. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, you spoke very little English.
Yes. No English at all, actually.
And you get this scholarship. Mm-hmm. You got a 3.8 GPA, a BA in interior design, mm-hmm. while playing basketball.
Yes.
How did you ever do that?
I actually played soccer also on a scholarship and rode crew on a scholarship, and I was offered a scholarship to run track. Because of my scholarships, I was able to pay for my schooling and not have my father worry about me paying for anything because he had the orphanage. I also did a part-time job cutting trees and mowing lawns, believe it or not. But it was really tough. It was like learning to read and write again. The good thing about the University of Charleston was that I had a lot of one-on-one with my teachers, and I did a lot of TV watching and a lot of pronunciation. I remember my mouth used to get really sore, and because we use the front of the tongue to speak Spanish, but we use the back of the mouth to speak English. So it was really, really challenging, but I did it. Now, my parents, my father is American, and my mother speaks English, but they never spoke English to us because they only spoke English when they had arguments, so we wouldn't understand.
All right, you graduate, and then you're homeless for 3 months.
Yes. Yes, I actually became homeless because I had a tremendous fear, and it was from my childhood. Plus, there was a statistic from West Virginia that said that 98% of interior designers cannot find a job in West Virginia. Either that or they have to leave the state. So my fear was fear of failure. And it became a reality when I was about 11 years old. My father told me once that I would never amount to anything. Exactly his words. That I would die in prison and with AIDS. Exactly his words. And I remember them. And so I'm sure parents say things to their kids that they don't mean, but kids do remember. And I really took them personally, and I think that it kind of manifested for me. Being homeless, I was about 3 months in the streets in the snow. I remember I was first with my car, and it blew up. The engine blew up, so I started sleeping in my sleeping bag. And in about 3 months or so, a lady that knew me from the university was passing down the street and saw me. And she says, "What are you doing?" So she took me into her home. As a matter of fact, this year, the University of Charleston inducted me into the Hall of Fame and the Gallery of Achievement, and I found her, and she got to sit with me for that event. But she actually got me off the street, and the time in the street that I had was the most precious time for me because that's when I got close to God, one-on-one. It was like suddenly I wasn't worried about anything, the world, the responsibilities, anything. It was just me. It was a time where I was a seed that was planted in the soil that was being fermented for something great. So one of the greatest experiences ever. So about 4 weeks later, I have some friends in West Virginia, and they forced me to enter salsa competition because they say, "Your salsa is great." I made it in college, and I said, "You guys are nuts. You know, it takes me a lot of money to make it, and you know, and it's expensive and time consuming." So they enter me into the salsa contest, and I won by unanimous vote. And that was my aha moment. I thought I had something, but I knew nothing about business or anything. And so I remember at the contest, people were asking to buy the salsa, and I was just making it for the contest. And somebody came to me and started talking to me about money and, you know, starting a business. And I said, "Well, I don't have any money. You know, I just came out from being homeless." And this businessman approached me and he said, "I've been watching you all this time." And he said, "I want to do something for you, but with two conditions." He says, "I'm going to give you," he pulls out his wallet and he says, "I'm going to give you $800. Two conditions. One, that I remain anonymous. And two, that when you become successful, because I know you're going to become successful, that you pay it forward." And those were the best well-spent $800 of my life. With those $800, I never got in debt. Well, for 5 years, never got in debt, and grew the company to be a multimillion-dollar success. And that's not knowing anything about business. I mean, I got my truck driver's license. I drove my products to the stores. I designed my own label. I designed my own website, everything.
It's one thing for this angel to give you $800 to start a business.
Yes.
A lot of people have started businesses, but they've gone broke.
Yes.
You knew nothing about business.
Mm-hmm.
How were you ever able to build this multi-million-dollar salsa company?
It was the not knowing. Because sometimes when people have information, they go by what other people do. I say, you be your own hero. You be your own inspiration. You go your own way. Figure out your own way. Because when you do that, nothing is impossible. Things come to you in a way that are not viewed by anybody else's or through anybody else's eyes. So that's the uniqueness, because every person is unique and has something to offer to the world. You just have to find what it is that you're aligned with so that you can bring it forth and make it a success.
We're talking to Maggie Cook, and in 2011, God sends her another angel, a big angel. When we come back, we'll ask her about that angel in 2011. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Maria Magdalena de la Cruz Cook Garcina, a.k.a. Maggie Cook. Maggie, you start this business, and in 2011, you go to a food show in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
And God sends you another angel, 6'6", 300-plus pound. Tell us about that angel.
Yes, I was in the IDDBA, the International Daily Dairy Bakery Association food show, and my booth happened to be across the booth of Garden Fresh Gourmet here from Detroit, and the owner, Jack Aronson, stopped by to my booth, and he started talking to me, and we hit it off immediately. We started sharing secrets, salsa secrets, and he said to me, after a little while, he said to me, one day we're going to do business together. We're going to do something together. And 5 years later, here we are. He actually bought my business, and that's why I moved to Detroit.
Tell us about Jack Aronson. He's bigger than life.
Yes.
But the biggest thing about him is his heart.
Yes.
And Annette as well.
Yes, Jack and Annette. I don't think I've ever met in my life people that are so kind, with the gentlest heart, compassion, meekness, and caring for others. Never have I met someone that doesn't care about themselves as much as they care about everybody else. And it doesn't matter who they are. It could be a homeless person in the street that they gave a job to. I was in the hospital attending one of his team members that he got from the street, from being homeless, and gave him a job, and he was there with them for 11 years. And I helped him transition, actually. For 2 weeks I was there with him. But people like that, people that he's able to lift up, and what he's done for the community here in Detroit and around Ferndale is just unbelievable. I'm very honored to know them, and I'm very humbled to know them as well.
How was it they bought your business in 2014?
They bought it last year, and I basically moved everything, all my packaging equipment. I think it took us 3 truckloads, plus I drove a truck up here and did several other trips, but we moved all the operations to Ferndale, to the plant, and the products include fresh salsas like pico de gallos, and also Mexican cheese dips like the white cheese dips that you'd eat in the restaurants. So all that became incorporated in their production, and actually new supermarkets, we're able to go into new supermarkets with the cheese dip products, which are really, really a hit.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from Jack and Annette Aronson?
Heart. Their heart. I thought I had a good heart, a humble heart, but I learned that what I see in them, I want to become more like them.
Now, Garden Fresh Gourmet sold the entire business to Campbell's in June of 2015 for $220 million.
Yes, yes.
That's a lot of salsa.
Yes, it's a lot of salsa.
So, okay. We're having lunch a few weeks ago.
Yes.
You're eating that vegan stuff, etc. And you're talking, and you tell me that in 2014, you and one of your brothers rescued 36 orphans from a Mexican drug cartel.
Yes.
And as you were telling me that, you teared up at that point.
Yes.
Tell us about that story, and why did you tear up? You're tearing up again.
Yes. This was the place where I was born. My father passed in 2009, and my mother remarried and moved away. And we found the kids in a really bad place. They were locked in, and there was feces everywhere. And there was other kids there, too. And we heard that we took them in. You know, I paid a lot of money for them to be in our custody. And then we heard that 50 people were coming in. They're gathering a group of people to take the kids. And some of those involved some of the members of the drug cartel, which actually, it was a really bad situation. The things that I saw, we were basically in the middle of a drug cartel war. There was three drug cartels fighting. They were pushing them out from the city into the mountains, and that's where we are. So I remember when my brother called me, and I went there immediately the next day. I didn't know if I was going to be back here. I was just willing to go and, you know, see what I could do. I remember when we started hearing the shootings, and I got all the kids and put them in a small room about the size of this room, maybe a little bit bigger. And I remember I told the people that were taking care of them, I said, you have to show no fear, because if they see that, they're going to be more afraid. So I literally slept outside the room in the concrete floor outside with a gun. It was a .38 special gun, and my brother had a shotgun, a handmade shotgun. And I noticed that there's a dog in a fence that was barking at anything it moved. And I befriended that dog. It was a really good dog. It was like a pit bull dog. So I have pictures of all of this. So I took this dog and tied it on my waist. So any movement at night, it would shake me and wake me up, because we hardly slept. And this happened for 30 days. But the thing that got me the most was when it was dark and it was night, that I could hear the little kids praying on the other side of the wall, thanking God that I was there to protect them. And I'll never forget that, because it just melted me away.
Maggie, anybody that meets you and listens to your story says, for 36 years old, this is one amazing lady with an unbelievable story that's might be 5'2", but she's like 7'5" when it comes to courage. How does somebody get great courage?
That's a tough one for me, because I think sometimes people are born with a certain character. And, excuse me, courage happens when you truly love something and you want to protect it. And for me, is life, protecting life of the children. I'm willing to give anything. I was willing to give anything and everything that I had, including my life, to protect them. I mean, I remember one night we saw flashlights and people were coming, and we started shooting our guns, and then I had one bullet left. And somebody ended up breaking in and taking a kid, but I had installed a really good phone system. And we phoned the federales and the military, and they came and they took the guy. We got the kid back, and they were actually stationed. They stationed a sniper there in the military, and to this day, they're still patrolling every night, and we give them a cabin. But I think that courage is something that you absolutely love, and it's got to be unconditional.
The latest chapter in your unbelievable life is you're now a reverend/minister at Renaissance Unity Church.
Yes.
Tell us about Renaissance Unity Church.
Renaissance Unity, it's actually the church in Warren, Michigan. And it's such a wonderful place. I met the CEO of the church, the person that runs it, by accident. But then again, there are no accidents, right? Because I had called many churches around here to try to speak to them and go in and share my message, and nobody returned my call. But here I am with Jack Aronson in an event, and here he is, and I'm not supposed to be there. And he offers me to come and speak, and ever since I went there, I never stopped going, and now I'm a reverend there, and I'm helping people spiritually. Perhaps my greatest realization in life is that when you realize that money and the houses and the cars don't mean anything because you don't get to take them with you. The only thing that you get to take when you go, when you transition, when you pass, is what you did to enrich yourself and what you did to enrich others.
One of your focuses right now is helping homeless and less fortunate children in Detroit. Tell us about the children you've met in Detroit.
I've met many organizations like Vista Maria, Boys and Girls Club. There's many, many good organizations. As far as the homeless, I'm just going to the streets and sharing my book. I have a book, Mindful Success, and share how I was homeless and how I can help them. I've seen successes in homeless people. But as far as the children of Detroit goes, Jack Aronson is actually starting a foundation, and he wants to work with me in helping him run this foundation, Jack and Annette. And they want to support and enrich the lives of the children of Detroit, because the children of Detroit are really the future of Detroit. And I see so much opportunity here that is missed by others to grow and to become a better society here.
If you want to learn more, www.maggiecook.org. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Maggie Cook, who today is a reverend slash minister at Renaissance Unity Church and helps the homeless and less fortunate children in Detroit. Maggie, it seems to me that in your amazing 36 years life on this planet, it's been a series of miracles,
yes,
one after another.
Mm-hmm.
What is a miracle?
A miracle is something that at first you can't see it. You have to have faith to believe the unseen in order to manifest something which is not there. That's a miracle. You have to have faith, believe in something unseen to manifest it into a miracle.
One of the pillars of Renaissance Unity Church is a course in miracles.
Yes.
Marianne Williamson, mm-hmm, was the leader for years. You know, this was her focus.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about A Course in Miracles.
Course in Miracles is a wonderful, wonderful book. I love the first line where it says, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And that basically is what life is, what it all boils down to. There's really no such thing as bad or good. It just is. Deep down, it's just the peace of God that prevails all.
A little more than a month ago, you and I sat together on a Saturday.
Yes.
And we listened to Jewel, uh-huh, sing and tell her story, Marianne Williamson, Lima Bowie, Nobel Peace Prize, Ricky Byers Beckworth, Cookie Roberts, and Kem.
Yes.
What did you get out of that day?
That was probably the most exciting event, fulfilling event that I've ever been to. There was so much good information, so much knowledge, and so much good energy about that. It was actually rated, 80% of the people said that it was the best that they've ever had or seen or heard. And that was one of my greatest experiences there at Renaissance Unity. I really, really, truly love that place.
Business owners, leaders, religious leaders are struggling to unlock the secret of reaching and winning over the millennials. How do we reach the millennials?
You have to step aside as in the carnality, in the flesh, and look forth into the spirituality of all that is, the thing that is not seen, but it's felt, and the thing that manifests anything that you desire, but aside from the flesh. You kind of have to step away from the materiality of things, put that aside, because it rusts, it molds, it doesn't last forever. In order to really reach forth, is we have to, just like technology is evolving, we have to evolve as spiritual beings. We have to become that way that we can evolve and help others evolve as well.
Speaking of millennials, Maggie, what advice would you give to the millennials this evening?
I think that it's one of the quotes that I've said before, that if you want something that you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done before. You kind of have to step outside of the box. When I was young, I was asked a lot, who was my superhero? And I said, me. I get to create and do anything that I want with my life. I don't have to look up to anybody else. I think people forget their individuality and how their individuality can make a difference. They can offer something in the world because nobody's made like them. Nobody's made like me. Nobody's made like you. So I encourage young people to reach out to their individuality and express themselves fully.
One of the blessings of doing this show for 10 years is once in a while I meet a person that has truly surrendered to God.
Yes.
You're one of those people.
Yes, absolutely.
How do we learn to surrender, let go, and let God?
Yes. Surrender is letting go. Letting go means everything just is. And when everything just is, that means nothing in the world that exists could bother you or could disturb your peace. When that happens, you open the door for more manifestation. And I'm not talking about, you know, vain things, but more good things that just empower your spiritual life. But surrendering is completely just releasing unto God, releasing unto the Most High, the universe, whatever you want to call it. When you surrender, that's when the true miracles happen. That's when you begin to attract the things into your life that you want. Because when you become that the thing that you want, then you attract everything. You're a mirror. You're like a mirror. So if my energy is good and I've surrendered everything and I have this in mind that I want for my life, then I bring the people, the events, the circumstances right into me. It's a miracle.
If there's somebody that says, wow, it's like a partnership with you and God every second of your life. If this listener says, Maggie, God's not in my life. I don't think that God even knows about me. I'm not sure God exists.
God is in you. God is in everything, even the things that we touch, the table, everything. Everything is created. We're all in oneness. We've just been lost. We've gotten lost. God is within everything and every cell, every component of this universe. And if you want to ask that question, you have to look at yourself and say, how is my heart beating? How are the cells reproducing? How is the blood flowing? You are a miracle. That is God. That's the beginning point for you to understand that.
Someone says, Maggie, I haven't prayed for a long time. How do I start to pray to God?
First part, I'm going to go back to the question earlier, is to surrender. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. It's just the presence that you need. And sometimes you just need to be quiet, because they say meditation is listening and prayer is talking. But sometimes you just need to be. And it's okay just to be. You don't have to do anything that anybody tells you, a church, a religion. You just have to simply be and allow God to flow and manifest in your life. And if you need to pray, pray. It's just a conversation like I'm having a conversation with you right now.
What dreams and goals do you still have for your life?
Well, we're making a movie about my story with some producers in Florida. My life, I just wanted to dedicate it to peacemaking, to contributing, to building, to empowering, to inspiring the young people and, you know, all people of all ages around the world. I speak all over the country now, and I'm just really at peace at what I've accomplished and what I'm doing, to know that I could be like a droplet of water that goes into the sea, that creates a ripple effect that's endless. And that ripple effect affects other and others and others and others, and it just keeps growing.
Maggie, if they make a movie about your life, they're going to have like 10 actresses, one for the hunter, one for the athlete, one for the salsa maker, one for the motivational speaker, the reverend. Who's going to play you?
I'm actually taking acting classes. They thought that maybe I could play parts of it, but yeah, we've discussed several things of that. It's pretty interesting. But although my life is still not over, there's still a lot of things going on, so...
You're in the first period of your life, Maggie. So, as our time winds down together tonight, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Absolutely. Dear Father, Mother God, who art in heaven and within us, we come to you this day, and we know that everybody that's listening in this moment is not listening by accident. We know that they're listening by divine appointment. We know that they're placed in this time and place and space to share this moment so that something that I may have said could tweak their reality, could create a change and inspiration to change their future this moment. I ask that no matter who they are, what religion, what faith, where they come from, where they've been, that you touch them. And that you change their world. Because when one changes their world, they can change the world around them. And that's all it takes, just one seed, one person. And even though sometimes the ground is plowed with concrete, a flower still cracks through the crack of the concrete, no matter how much pressure of the world. And that's the seed that it's worth sprouting. And I ask that you truly bless us here today and bless everybody listening. We ask all these things in the name of the Most High. And so it is.
Maria Magdalena de la Cruz Cook Garcia, a.k.a. Maggie Cook, every person you meet, you change. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahoe.